This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, today on Cross Hope, we talk about a woman who said she prayed all night to a God she didn't believe in. What a statement. It's one of the most interesting statements I've heard in a long time. When's the last time you or I can say we prayed all night about anything? Can we say we prayed an hour, 15 minutes about something? It's about prayer in a different way today from Luke 6 as we continue this series from the Gospel of Luke called Simple Gospel. God bless you as you listen. One of the saddest sentences I could quote to you is from a woman from Fairfield, Connecticut, by the name of Romy, R-O-M-Y. I think that's how you would pronounce it, Romy or Rami. She talks about a crisis in her life, a very detailed, I'm not going to go into kind of story, it's so involved. And here's the line that just struck me. She said, I prayed all night to a God I didn't believe in. What a statement. I prayed all night to a God that I didn't believe in. What would happen if you prayed for an hour to a God you did believe in? What would happen if you prayed 30 minutes to a God you did believe in? And I was so touched by her honesty. I prayed all night to a God I didn't believe. There was a conflict in her soul and in her spirit of wanting to believe there's a God and praying all night. Today we look at a passage of scripture in Luke where Jesus is described as having prayed all night. He prayed all night before he made the selection of 12 apostles. It's in Luke 6, and then I'm going to share 3 standalone verses with you about prayer today. Luke 6, 12, just 4 verses. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostle. The word disciple means learner or student, follower. Apostle means one whom is sent. It's a special title. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Just a side note, every time the 12 apostles are named in the Gospels, Peter is always mentioned first, and Judas Iscariot is always mentioned last. Don't have any significance to attach to that other than that's an observation I have made. Peter's always mentioned first, and Judas Iscariot last. Jesus spent all night praying about his choice for disciples or apostles. Here's the principle I'd leave with you there. Jesus felt the need, even as the Son of God, to pray before an important decision. Do you? I'm amazed at the decisions people make about their career, about a house, about moving to another city, about buying a car, a major expense in their life. And you'll ask them just off the cuff, did you guys pray about it? Never thought to pray about it. Why would we pray about it? Why would we pray about a house? Why would we pray about a job? Why would we pray about a move? And we make life-impacting decisions, and it never occurs to us to pray. And Jesus felt the need. I just find it intriguing to pray all night before he made the choice of the 12 apostles. What I want to do, this is a little different today. I'm going to take 3 verses of scripture that you can pray as a parent, as a spouse, as a son or daughter, as a friend, as a co-worker. It covers everybody. That's the point I'm making about prayer. And I'm taking 3 verses out of context. I admit it. But they're true. But the principles are true. What I want to do, this is a little different today. I'm going to take 3 verses of scripture that you can pray as a parent, as a spouse, as a son or daughter, as a friend, as a co-worker. It covers everybody. That's the point I'm making about prayer. And I'm taking 3 verses out of context. I admit it. But they're true. But the principles are true. The first thing I want to suggest to you that you could pray as a parent on this Mother's Day is in the book of Jeremiah. They'll all come up. You don't have to really look them up. But Jeremiah 42, verse 3, pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what should we do. If you're a parent, would it be safe to say that the two things you pray about or you're worried about your children the most, where are they going? What are they doing? That makes sense to anybody? When's the last time you prayed for a son or daughter? Lord, would you guide where he goes? Lord, would you guide where she goes, the places she frequents, and would you guide what they do? Do you know why you need to pray that prayer? This is really brilliant on my part. I come up with these brilliant thoughts. Here's why you need to pray that prayer. You can't be everywhere your son and daughter are. And you never will be everywhere they are. And you need to pray, God, I beseech you, I appeal to you, guide where they go and what they do. I'm going to suggest that's going to cover a lot of what goes on in the life of a son or daughter. Covers a lot. The second thing I want to suggest to you from a verse is from, interestingly enough, the Old Testament book of Jonah. Do you remember the Jonah series? Jonah 2, 1 and 2, Jonah's in the whale, or in the fish, and from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Isn't that a great place to pray? Inside a fish? He said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You not only pray for what your children, where they go and what they do, you pray in their distress. You say, well, my children have no idea what it would be like to be swallowed up by a fish. No, but they'll soon find out what it's like to be swallowed up with guilt. Give them enough time. They will. Give them enough time and they'll know they'll be swallowed up with some decision they need to make, a difficulty in their life. They'll be swallowed up with anger. They'll be swallowed up with bitterness toward a parent, toward a friend. And so what do we need to pray for? Lord, I pray for my son or daughter in their distress. I pray for my husband or wife in their distress, and you will answer them. Pray for what they do, where they go. Pray for them in their distress, that they would look to the Lord in their distress. This is a sad story, but it's got a powerful message from Susie from Statesville, North Carolina. She said, some years ago, my mother was dying of pancreatic cancer. I selfishly and angrily asked her how she could leave me. I reminded her that she promised she would not only be there for me, but for my own daughter, who was less than 2 at the time. How will my daughter ever know you? I asked. She said to me, she will know me through you. I believe in the power of mothers, she said. May I tell you how parents or children are going to come to know the Lord in a very real way? Through you. Would you listen to that again? How is it that your children come to know the Lord through you? That's a newsflash for a father, a newsflash for a mother, but it's true. May I tell you how children are going to come to know the Lord in a very real way? Through you. Would you listen to that again? How is it that your children come to know the Lord through you? That's a newsflash for a father, a newsflash for a mother, but it's true. And the people who have the greatest impact, potential for impact, spiritually in the life of a child are oftentimes, get this, the least involved in spiritual impact in the life of that child. I've never understood that. Do you remember the study I told you about from UCLA, two professors who said that the mother has the most to do with what a child believes? The mother has the most to do with what a child believes. What's that do with dad? Dad has the most to do with religious behavior. Isn't that interesting? Mom impacts belief, but dad's impact behavior. And so what a child does with that belief is impacted by a father. And you can give me exceptions to that, and I understand that. And you can say, well, it was the reverse in our family. I get that. But I think there's a general principle there. There's a third scripture I want to share with you. It's from the book of Romans, the 15th chapter, of what you can pray for as a parent. Romans 15:30 says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Some of you remember growing up as a teenager, and the best word to describe your growing up years was struggle. You struggled with issues of identity. You struggled with your looks. You struggled with your appearance. You struggled with how people perceived you. You struggled with how people thought of you at school. And that's a great way to describe what growing up is like. But you know what I found? People struggle all their lives with something, with some issue in their life. And I want to suggest to you that when you pray for people, you join in their struggle. You absolutely join in their struggle. Whose struggle have you joined in on? You know, some people could say, I really don't join in anybody's struggle because I don't pray for anybody. I told you this recently. I've actually had people tell me that the only person they pray for is themselves. And they just being honest, I appreciated their honesty. I only pray for me. And yet one of the greatest things we can do is to be an intercessor in prayer for other people. Several people asked me for a copy of this. I had no idea when I read it that this would have an impact on people from First Service, but it's written by Joe Reagan, who now is the president of the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. Before that, for 14 years, he was president of the Greater Louisville Chamber of Commerce. He talks about his early days in marriage where they had no money. They were broke, to use a word that some of you have used in your own life, were broke. Annie asked her dad, they had 13 children. One time she asked her dad, Dad, are we poor? And he said, no, we're not poor, we're just broke. I thought that was a great answer. We just don't have any money, we're not poor. Here's what Joe Reagan writes. In the fall of 93, I was wrapping up a failed business venture. I was hospitalized that year, which further wreaked havoc on my business and left us digging out from medical bills. My wife, Julie, and I started a family. We had two small children and one on the way. Well, folks, this is simply one of those stories that it takes 2 days to share on our program. We want you to know that this program on Cross Hope can be heard at your discretion, at your convenience, on crosshope.org. That's our national website, crosshope.org. Be sure and look at visual stories if you get a chance. Stories that you not only listen to, but stories that you watch. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Here's what Joe Reagan writes. In the fall of 93, I was wrapping up a failed business venture. I was hospitalized that year, which further wreaked havoc on my business and left us digging out from medical bills. My wife, Julie, and I started a family. We had two small children and one on the way. By this time in my life, I had surrendered most of my life to God, but I lived on a pious motto attributed to a saint: pray as though everything depends on God, but work as everything depends on you. Some of you grew up with that. Pray as if it all depends on God, but work as if it all depends upon you. That seemed to me like a logical division of labor. So I worked with all the self-will I could muster while praying for God's will to be done, especially to help take care of a growing family. But this belief was soon to be shaken when I realized one night that fall that we had absolutely, completely run out of money. A lot of people can't identify with this, but some of you can. We had $25 in the checking account, no credit, no credit cards. Little food in the house. Some cash might be coming in about 2 weeks, but none until then. For someone whose self-image was completely wrapped up in winning in the business world and taking care of my family, this was devastating. Despite my hard work and tenacity, I could not change what was happening. Then on top of being pregnant, Julie became extremely ill. Julie had a friend in our church who found out she was sick. It was not uncommon for friends to organize meals when a baby is born, but this friend had had the experience of being pregnant and sick and realized that what a burden that is, and that at that time it's when meals should really be brought. So she sprang into action and organized 10 days of meals for our family. Now, she didn't know anything about our financial situation. She was just acting out of her faith. But here she was at our doorstep with meals for the next day and promises of meals for 10 days. I want you to listen to this next line. This is really a touching line. Each evening, the doorbell would ring, and I would open it up to see the face of God standing there with a casserole. Wow. Listen to that again. Each evening, the doorbell would ring, and I would open it up to see the face of God standing there with a casserole. These wonderful women had no idea what they were really bringing into our home and what lessons they were teaching me. On the 10th day, Julie realized we had no milk, which is a necessity in a home with two small children. She started looking around in our coat pockets looking for money. Have you ever done that? You've been so desperate, you're looking for change in coat pockets, hoping to find some milk money. When the doorbell rang, there was another of Julie's friends with a sack full of meals and 2 gallons of milk. Julie was absolutely dumbfounded. "Why would you bring us milk?" she asked. "I didn't even think about it," her friend replied. "Why wouldn't I? You have to have milk with your meal." Again, the friend was oblivious to the true challenge we had. All my effort, all my working, like it was all up to me, could not even produce 1 gallon of milk for our family. But through these faithful, loving women, God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. I abandoned the belief of praying like it's all up to God and working like it's all up to me, and instead I began to accept that all of my life, prayer and work, rest in God alone. That's a lesson for you. It's a lesson for me today. It's not about all your efforts and all my efforts. It's about what God can do in our lives. And get this, what God can do in the lives of other people working in your life.
We'll conclude this story and this message on CrossHope tomorrow. That's crosshope.org.
I abandoned the belief of praying like it's all up to God and working like it's all up to me, and instead I began to accept that all of my life, prayer and work, rest in God alone. That's a lesson for you. It's a lesson for me today. It's not about all your efforts and all my efforts. It's about what God can do in our lives. And get this, what God can do in the lives of other people working in your life. Some of you grew up with the mentality, it's all up to you, and if it's to be done, I've got to do it. And if this work's going to be accomplished, I've got to be the one. And there's a moment of freedom that comes in a man or woman's life when they recognize that God is the provider and I'm not. Ultimately, the Lord God is the provider. That's right out of Scripture. The Lord does provide. And the sooner a man in this room understands that, the better. And the sooner a woman in this room recognizes that, the better. The Lord is ultimately the provider. Three things today. In fact, if we can bring them up again, I'd like to do that. The first one from Jeremiah. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what shall we do. You want to pray for your children? Lord, guide where they go. Guide what they do. Simple prayer request, but powerful. The next one from Jonah. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me." Pray for your child, your husband, your wife, your family member in distress, and call to the Lord on their behalf. And the third one from Romans 15, I urge you by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle to pray by praying to God for me. You join in the struggle of the people you love by praying for them. You join in the struggle by praying for them. I began with that illustration, sad illustration, of the young lady who said, "I prayed all night to a God I didn't believe in." I'm asking you today to pray for 2 minutes to a God you do believe in. To pray for 2 minutes for a son who's in distress. To pray 2 minutes for a son or daughter who's swallowed up by, not a fish, but swallowed up by guilt, by anger, by bitterness, by resentment, by jealousy, whatever the case may be. People can be swallowed up by anything in life, by medical problem. And you say, "I turn them over to the Lord." Here's why. When you pray on behalf of your children, You are acknowledging to the Lord a couple of things. You're saying, Lord, I recognize they're not my children, they're yours. Psalm says, children are a heritage of the Lord, they're a gift. But you know what you do when you pray for somebody? You share the burden, not with just a friend. You share the burden of raising your children with the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you're saying, Lord, I join in the struggle with them. And you do too. Because your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. On this Mother's Day, I'm going to ask you to be a person of prayer who prays. And I'm giving you three new reasons why to pray for your children, why to pray for your husband, why to pray for your wife, why to pray for your family, brothers and sisters, and why to pray for yourself. Pray to the one who answers prayer. God is in the business, the Bible says, of hearing our prayers. Does he give us everything we want? No, but we're told in the Word of God that when we pray according to his will, here's what it says, he hears us. He hears us. Why is that important? I want to be heard by the ears that matter. That's the Lord God Almighty, and so do you. Let's pray together.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.